Welcome to These Three Remain, stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. I'm Rick Hill, the host of this podcast, and each week we bring you conversations with a variety of contributors reflecting a particular aspect of our life and witness in these days. Please subscribe to the podcast to receive future episodes, and we really appreciate all of you who are sharing the podcast in your congregations or on social media. Now, just before I introduce this week's guests, a reminder that we are inviting you to share any encouraging stories of faith, hope and love at this time, and we have had a few people get in touch. So firstly, Ben Johnson emailed to tell us that at Hamilton Road they've just finished up 4 weeks of midweek devotions on hope as a lead into prayer. He writes, "I base these on the excellent Faith, Hope, Love, The Christ-Centered Way to Grow in Grace by Mark Jones, published by Crossway. It'd be worth checking out." So that's definitely relevant to our theme. Thanks, Ben. And Trevor Long, clerk of North Belfast Presbytery, got in touch to say that the Presbytery adopted Sunday the 19th of April as a day to remember each of their 21 congregations and pray for each other. He writes, "All members of those congregations were invited to set aside an hour that afternoon. Included were prayers for all our congregations. We give thanks for the positive way so many have adapted to a new way of worship and are giving encouragement to one another through worship services on YouTube, prayer times using Zoom and text messages to keep in touch. Presbyterians can do change when we have to," he writes. "There was plenty to ask for God's help with, including prayer for those in the front line of serving those in need, and it was encouraging to know that people are looking in a wider way beyond their own congregations and buildings and caring about what God is doing in our community. We are stronger together." Waringstown shared this new initiative. They write, we decided to launch Alpha Online because we realised that many people now had time in their hands and were perhaps feeling overwhelmed with the uncertainty in the world at this time that might mean they were more open to considering the Christian faith. We want to give people the opportunity to see the hope that can be found in Jesus in these uncertain times. We encouraged the congregation to invite non-Christian friends, family, neighbours and promoted it across social media channels. 30 people registered, and we had our first session last night and feedback has been positive. And finally, we received this encouraging news from Tom Gillam, the clerk of session in Maynooth, to say that they are rejoicing and thanking the Lord because last week they received planning permission from the council to build a permanent church home for worship and community outreach. The church began meeting in September 2003 and was the first new PCI congregation in the Republic of Ireland for 90 years. "Please pray," he writes, "for the building project team and elders in Maynooth, as the church can now purchase the promised site, begin the detailed design for the multi-purpose facility and raise the final third of the funds needed to break ground." So really encouraging stories all around, and thanks to everyone for getting in touch. But now on to today's episode. This conversation is called Our Message in This Moment, and we are seeking to explore what God might be teaching us and wanting to share with us in these days, both in terms of his message to us and our message to others. So to help us explore this, it's great to be joined by the Reverends Frank Seller, Norman Cameron and Leslie Ann Wilson. Folks, welcome. Why don't you introduce yourselves to us and maybe tell us a little bit about the congregation you minister in. Frank, what about you?
Well, thank you, Rick. Thank you for the invitation. Frank Seller is my name, minister in Bloomfield, and also convener of the Council of Mission in Ireland. And it's good to be part of the discussion today.
Norman?
Yeah, Norman Cameron, minister in Highkirk, Ballymena. I'm into my 14th year, I think, here. Highkirk is a fairly large congregation, about 600 or so families, with a heart for the local community. Very kind of broad congregation. We have everything here from traditional Presbyterian to those of a more charismatic Pentecostal bent. And Highkirk has always had that kind of flavor, that broad spectrum. So it's an interesting and it's a great place to minister in. And but it's not without its challenges as well, but I'm certainly enjoying that.
I'm Leslie Ann Wilson, and I'm the minister of Ballycrocken Presbyterian Church in Bangor. And I was called there in September 2015. So it would be 5 years this September that I would be there.
Good. I wonder for you folks, has there been one standout encouragement for you over the past few weeks of amidst the obvious challenges that there have been too?
The standout encouragement has been that a man who I was visiting from November He had been in hospital. He had no real church connection, at least. He'd said that he hadn't been connected with Ballycrocken for years, but the contact came through the chaplain. So I began visiting him every week up until lockdown. And he had been seriously ill when I first went and then had shown signs of progress. And the last time I saw him, I went in and his face was radiant. And I commented on the remarkable turnaround that he'd made. And I said, "You look so joyful. And you look so much better from when the last time I saw you." And he just replied, "It's God." And I said, "Oh, that's wonderful. That's such, you know, an answer to prayer." And he just was so excited and effervescent. And he started talking about his father and saying how his father had had an awakening with God before he died. And he said, "But of course, you know," and he said, "the same thing has happened to me, but I'm going to get out of here." Now, sadly, obviously, with the lockdown and the conditions, it wasn't a COVID death, but he passed away because of his underlying conditions. But that meant for a lovely meeting with his family. And often in the past, where you would find that a family has had no church connection for many years, you know, there could be a hardness of heart or not wanting to accept if there had been any signs of spiritual awakening. But they were just so encouraged by, you know, what I shared with them. And it was just really lovely. And that was such a blessing because I just thought, well, God really is at work. And his life has been redeemed after all these years. And his family have been blessed and comforted in this very difficult time.
That was powerful and very encouraging too.
Well, in terms of Highkirk, I've found that one of the things, we've quite a large staff here. But they have been very innovative and very flexible. They have kind of reshaped all they've done to move online. And some of the staff are a bit younger than me, so they're used to technology. They're used to Zoom and all the different things that they can work with. So that's been good just to watch them innovate, change tack, and seek to communicate with their constituencies in new ways. So I find that really real encouragement. And also in terms of our community outreach, our food bank, that has really grown in terms of serving the community. And we've been contacted up by people outside our community, you know, outside the church family, and they have heard that Highkirk is doing a food bank, and we've found this a really good witness actually to reach people.
Brilliant. Frank?
Yeah, it's just been so lovely to see how this is bringing the best out of people and how people within the congregation are just caring for others, and especially those who are on their own or the more vulnerable. And our soup club have been making food, and elders and others have been able to leave those at the doors of people who really appreciate them. One of the things I've discovered is that this has given people an excuse to talk about their faith. Mm. And a lot of people are articulating what they are experiencing of God in their lives in ways just that they would probably never have done before. And it's been lovely to see that. Mm. And one thing that really encouraged me was one of our older members who is highly talented with sewing. She thought, "Now, what can I do in order to help other people?" And she has been busy making face masks, and she has produced nearly 100 of those, and those are available for people both south and north of the border. And I'm just so encouraged by that.
Yeah, I think another encouragement is that the church is, we always talk about the church getting outside the building, and for many of us now we don't have our church buildings, so it's been good to see online services, and I'm sure this is the same across the board, many more taking that up to view church services, to listen in. And I have no doubt, and certainly in my own experience, in my own wider family, there have been people watching the recordings of the services who would never go to church, who would never be in a church. So I think through this time, there are encouragements to be had as we see the Word of God going outside the building, going into people's homes, maybe people listening to things that they have never really engaged with before. So I think there's encouragements there.
Yeah, it's encouraging to hear. What you're talking about is innovation there, actually, in terms of the digital innovation, but also the innovation of how to serve food or sewing and things like that. So that's really encouraging. Over the last few weeks, we've been focusing on how congregations have been responding and maybe in some ways focusing on what we can be doing or what we have been doing. But today, we'd love to take a little bit of a step back and think not just about what we are doing, but what you are maybe noticing and hearing. So I wonder, could you share or articulate what you have been sensing in terms of what God is saying to you, even personally at this time?
Yeah, I mean, I find this an interesting time for me personally. I find it challenging. There's a lot of people talking about an extended Sabbath. Mm. I'm reminded, I think it was Eugene Peterson says, Sabbath is the time to receive silence and let it deepen into gratitude. And so these are times when you are more grateful as you think of the blessings that we do have. And even when we can't get out and about as we once did, you begin to have a new appreciation of those things. But I think on a more challenging level for me personally, I think this time has made me look into my heart a little bit more and see the bad stuff as well as the good stuff, which is in our hearts. When we're in the press, a lot of bad stuff gets squeezed out as well as the good stuff. And I suppose... by nature be impatient, and I've had to learn how to be more patient and more patient with my family, more patient with others. And sometimes when you're in this kind of more stressful crisis, it really is a wake-up call maybe on your own sanctification.
Yeah, I wonder, Norman, could you reflect a wee bit on whether, you know, we jump to activity actually, but whether there is something in this season of God slowing us down to notice things as well. Any reflections on that?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. I think probably like Frank, the first few weeks of this have been crazy busy because you're trying to set up new ways of working. But I think as we go deeper into this crisis, and I think especially for churches, this is the long game. This is going to take a bit longer than we think. I think we will find that we are all slowing down a bit more. We've maybe not even found that slow place yet. And I think God will do a work in all of our hearts if we allow him. Maybe a time to read more, to get into the Bible a bit more, and just to ask God that we don't waste this crisis, I suppose, that something really good comes out of it in terms of, as I said, of our own sanctification. We're so busy maybe thinking about how the world is going to change. But let's maybe think about how I'm going to change in my own life and take a little bit more time in devotions, a little bit more time in prayer, and just to slow down and find out what is truly important. And I think I'm starting to get to that place where I'm beginning to really slow down and go deeper with God, hopefully.
I came across a hymn the other day that I first remember from singing in a school assembly and never liked, probably because I never understood it. But the middle verse goes, "Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is richer green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Songs of birds in sweetness grow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am his and he is mine." And one of the things from a personal point of view is just being able to enjoy the senses that God has given, whether it's hearing what God is communicating to us in the scriptures or what people are saying to us as they talk on the telephone or what the birds are saying each morning as we wake up. And not only hearing, but also seeing the beauty of the flowers that are in the garden and celebrating people's kindness. And then with our sense of smell, literally waking up and smelling the coffee or the roses. These are precious gifts. And touch, we're normally people who shake hands, but I'm appreciating even more the hugs within the family unit that you're limited to. And again, just tasting good food. And all right, we're in a crisis, but you know, we have so much. We're not deprived of food. We have contact with people in Rwanda through our church link scheme with Tear Fund. And there we've been reminded that people who are out of work, they just don't have any money at all to eat. And some of the people who have HIV or other illnesses, they are having to choose whether to use the limited resources that they have to help their medication or their food. And just last night, you know, with our virtual Kirk session meeting, we were saying, look, we have to send some money immediately to these people, because while we have so much that are stimulating our senses in this crisis, there are people in other parts of the world who are really, really suffering.
Leslie Ann?
I have found it, I'm going to be brutally honest, but I have found this to be a very difficult journey. And part of the reason for that is that because of having come through the cancer treatment, which finished a year ago in January, but I had a meeting with the surgeon in January about having another mastectomy. And at that meeting, I was told that I couldn't have it. And to be honest, I just buried that and went away and didn't really think about it. But I think what you find in terms of this lockdown, especially since I'm living on my own, in that all of these things that you think that you're dealing with or ignoring, as the case may be, suddenly you're exposed and you've nowhere to run and you've nowhere to hide. And you have to actually face into things that you maybe haven't dealt with. There are other issues that are maybe coming up for you personally in your faith. And I have felt very overwhelmed and stressed by doing ministry by technology. The phone has just been on my ear and the laptop has been on my knee. And I find it mentally draining. And because I'm sort of trying to deal with other things, then I have felt quite stressed. And there's been times when I have really felt quite emotional. I'm even getting emotional now saying that. But God, through it all, has been saying, look, you know, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. And don't be afraid, I've got this. This is going to be a very precious time that you're going to look back on when I have taught you things and I have carried you through the difficulty. And it has been through facing into the fear, you know, of I don't want to think about that, I don't want to deal with that, but putting on the big girl pants and just starting to really pray into things that I maybe haven't done. And it has been a blessing in the midst of the difficulty.
Yeah, and I'm sure people listening will really appreciate your vulnerability and honesty in that too. And I wonder actually if there's a sense of, as you minister actually out of that weakness, in a sense, is what you're articulating, that actually that will really bring strength to others in this time as well. I wonder, is that something you've found yet?
Yeah, well, to be honest, the whole of 2019, I was ministering out of complete and utter weakness because I was really trying to come to terms with the ongoing side effects of treatment. When you go through treatment, you expect to have side effects, but you don't expect new side effects to start after the treatment has ended. So I'm even amazed that I'm still here able to minister, because there was three very significant times in 2019 when I thought, I'm going to have to give up, I can't do this anymore. But in each of those occasions, God ministered to me very powerfully and just gave me enough light for the next step to keep going on. So I used to say, you know, that verse about the vine, and I can do nothing apart from you. I've prayed a few times before and said, I don't really understand what that means, because there's lots of things I can do without you, God. You know, what is it? But I've really learned what that means, and you know, in this last 15 months, because I really haven't been able to do anything without God, and I suppose that's made me more dependent and reliant on him. Doesn't mean that it's any easier, but I'm definitely more dependent and ministering out of that weakness.
So if that's maybe God's message to us and what he's teaching us, I wonder if we could turn outwardly a little bit, and I wonder if you could reflect or help us reflect on what our message might be to wider society at this time and the communities that your congregations are serving in this moment.
I think that it's probably a wake-up call for society, because all of the normal avenues that bring pleasure and consumerism and shopping and eating out and all of the things that comprise our modern Western individualistic lifestyle have all ground to a halt. And right at the beginning, when we announced to the church that we would no longer be meeting, one of my eldest members, who's in his 90s, said, well, there's a victory for Satan if ever there was one. And there was a wee cartoon circulating, I'm sure you've seen it, but it's a conversation between Satan and God. Satan is saying, ha ha, I've shut down all the churches. And God in reply says, well, on the contrary, I have opened up every home. And I have seen a truth in this, because through the various recordings and different things, there are people connecting with services who haven't maybe been to church in a few years. There are conversations happening with neighbours whom you never normally see, but now you're seeing them every Thursday night because you're out to clap for the health service. You know, so there are conversations and opportunities happening all around. And I still think that God is working out his purposes. And last Sunday, just in talking about the passage with Thomas, how gracious and loving Jesus was when Thomas missed out on the big blessing the week before. And then he comes, appears in the lockdown with them. You know, they're all hiding in that room and behind locked doors. And lockdown presents no barriers for Jesus. He's able to lovingly appear on cue to bless us and to give us a life-changing encounter. And that evoked then Thomas to exclaim, my Lord and my God. And I just feel that in society, you know, that there will be people who will come to that point because they've been brought to their knees, maybe now have no income, they don't know how they're going to make ends meet. And there are probably people out there praying who have never prayed before, or maybe never prayed for years. And I just believe those words, my Lord and my God, you know, because the Bible tells us that there will be a day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess him as Lord. And I think there'll be a lot of that going on in these days.
Norman?
As I said earlier, perhaps we're finding that our online presence is such that we are reaching people who wouldn't normally be in church. So in one sense, we need to be maybe more careful about what we're saying and how we witness. But here is an opportunity. And I suppose what has been coming to me is, what is different about the Christian church? What can we offer to a society which is in crisis, which is in lockdown? What is different about how Christians live, or what is different about their message? And Jesus was always countercultural. Actually, in my Easter message, I was referencing Luke 12, where Jesus says quite a shocking thing, where he says in Luke 12, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. In other words, fear God, even above death. And we are a society which at the minute is obsessed by death. Rarely is death talked about it as much as it has been. It was one of the great taboo subjects. But surely if the church hasn't got something to offer here in terms of beyond death and eternity, do we have any kind of a message at all? So I think it's a message that is countercultural, to almost say to people, look, bad as death is, there's actually something worse. There's an eternal death. And that surely is where the good news comes in, that we have something that can even answer death itself. And the fear that is in society and the lockdown, that Jesus actually has something to speak into this time.
One of the questions that I've been asked on more than one occasion is this COVID-19 God's judgment on our society, our world? And that's a very challenging question. It just so happens we're looking at the book of Romans on Sunday evenings and Bible studies, and we were looking at Romans 1, where it talks about God's wrath being revealed. But strangely enough, the way that God's judgment is seen is in giving people over to the way that their hearts already have been moving, and allowing people, as it were, to go through the doors that they already are going through or wanting to enter. And I've been challenged about that. If this is God's judgment, we do need to repent. And I'm quite sure that there are elements of our lives and our society that is undoubtedly true. On the other hand, we could also see this as God's gift to us, an opportunity for us to refocus and to see things that have been clouded in our judgment. And it certainly gives us opportunity to reprioritize, to identify those idols of our hearts, those things that have consumed us, and to think about those things that truly matter. And as Norman has said, the things of eternal significance as well. So I think there's a lot for us to think about, you know, in terms of society and I mean, it's interesting, the idols that have been so much part of our community, things like celebrity. Strangely enough, celebrities don't seem to have, you know, been so significant. The people who are now becoming the idols of our society are actually people who work for the HSE or the National Health Service. And we have to be careful that we don't idolize them in the same way as we idolize celebrities, because our hearts are always wanting to hold other people up as some kind of celebrities, but our hero is the Lord Jesus. He is the one that needs to take hold of our affections and command our attention.
Yeah, I agree with Frank there. I mean, I think language of judgment is not helpful. I think we live in a fallen world. Pandemics happen. You have the Spanish flu, you know, the Black Plague, et cetera, et cetera, some of which were a lot worse than what we're going through. So I think it's unhelpful to talk in terms of judgment. However, it is good to ask people or to challenge people and say, you know, how are you changing? What do you feel God is saying to you through this? How are you as a person handling this crisis? And what do you think is going to come out of this that will be better? So I think there are opportunities here that we can use to challenge people and encourage people to look within their own hearts.
Yeah, and Frank, earlier on you talked about sensing that people were more open to talk about faith, or even Christians more open to sharing their faith. Is there ways that you've seen that, either within your own congregation or friendship circles?
Well, I mean, definitely on sort of WhatsApp groups and so on, and some of the women are sharing different insights and thoughts every day. And it's just been great to hear people, as it were, ministering to each other. And I would just hate the thought of us reverting back to normal after this is all over, because we, as a, you know, as a Christian community, we have to think, well, you know, what are the things that we must take on board now that will be better for people's spiritual development and sharing of their faith in a natural way within the context in which we live and move.
I'd love to press into that idea of the, you know, what's the new normal, I guess. You've talked, Frank, about not wanting to return to normal. So what is the new normal?
It's a very difficult question. A lot of people, I think that's the question I've heard people asking more than anything. And it may be just a little too early to discern what the new normal is going to be like. I mean, I'm hopeful that out of this, people will be less hurried and harried, that there'll be less intercontinental flights, that there'll be less business people, you know, flying across for an hour meeting in London from America, that we can do more by Zoom, and that our climate actually, which seems to have been helped through this period, waters seem to be clearer, the air's cleaner. Hopefully we will learn from this, maybe, that it was just crazy busy what we were doing, and we just cannot keep going at this level. So I'm thinking, hopefully, in the wider world, that we will learn climate lessons out of this, that we'll learn just to ease off a bit more and not be quite so busy. And I'm hopeful even for us as Christians as well. Some people say their Sundays are the busiest day of the week, and I'm not sure that's a good thing. Maybe folks would just need to have a little bit more Sabbath in their Sundays, and a new normal will find that people are just slowing down a bit more. Having said that, we might be just so glad to go back to normal life that we go at it 100 miles per hour.
Maybe in a funny sort of way, what we're experiencing now is back to normal. I've been using my bicycle a lot more, you know, when I have to go out, and when you go on the roads and you think, yeah, this is quite good. This is pre sort of all these cars on the road. This is more normal. And people showing kindness to their neighbours, this is more back to normal, because there's some sort of reverting to the things that matter about other people. I mean, Easter time, when we lived in Dublin, first of all, if you went out on Good Friday, it was as quiet as could be. I mean, this is the first Easter that I've known that for decades. Mm. Mm-hmm. And if that's a new norm, you know, I can live with that.
I wonder, turning the conversation again to think missionally and our message to individuals, I guess, that we're encountering. As we have conversations with friends on the phone or meet with others from our church online or even encounter neighbours in their garden or at their gate while out a walk, how might we be speaking sensitively to address their concerns or to speak a word of peace or hope and point them to Jesus in these times?
I think that's actually a good question of how we, again, be different to people and see that the church has something to offer. I love that little phrase, being a non-anxious presence. And perhaps as we're speaking to people, as the levels of fear are as high as they've ever been, as people are finding that they're anxious and depressed and so on, that we show them there's a different way to come into this. When you've got a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that you have something unique to offer. I think it was Pete Gregg recently was saying that in Google, the word pray or prayer has had its highest kind of search for 5 years. So people are inquisitive. What is prayer? Will it make a difference? How can I get a relationship with God? Now, that is definitely to the forefront more than it has been. And it's about, as I say, trying to be that non-anxious presence and saying, look, you know, I've had a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's helping me. I'm still finding it difficult. I think there needs to be honesty in there.
Yeah.
But still to say, look, I'm finding this difficult, but I know that there is a God who is in control, a God who is sovereign. And I think that hopefully we'll find a landing, we'll find a listening, more so in these days.
Sometimes it's said that Christian people prefer a godly funeral than a godless wedding. And the reason for that is because there are times of vulnerability, people are more real, there's integrity there. And if people are talking about their anxieties, their concerns, their hopes, their fears, then we do have opportunity to speak into that situation. I mean, I'm just thinking about somebody who phoned me the other day and in the natural conversation about something completely different, they talked about their family and their concerns. And I didn't know the person from Adam, but I did say to them, would you mind would you give me permission to pray with you? And they said, oh, I would love that. So it was just a very natural opportunity to do in that context what we as believers are able to do. And one of those is to pray, to bring people into the presence of God. And I was just thinking, you know, isn't that what we're called to do all the time, just to be people who are able to point to Christ?
Well, I think the main thing is just to be honest, you know, and our faith doesn't give us exemption. I'm always very honest, you know, with the fact that I've been through a depression in the past and I suffer from anxiety a bit. And I think being open and honest about those things helps to draw other people in to then share the difficulties that they're facing. Many elderly people are on their own, and it must be extremely difficult not seeing grandchildren and loved ones coming. So, you know, God only asks us to be ourselves and to give a word in season. And I think if we're living and walking in the Spirit, that word is living in us. And depending on who the person is, you know, a verse or a word or a song will come into our mind whenever we're speaking to them in His timing, that we can use then to prompt or encourage.
Finally, we've been finishing all our podcast episodes by inviting contributors to share a piece of scripture that has been or is key for them at this time. Frank, do you want to kick off with that?
Yeah, as I was saying early on, we're doing a wee series of studies online on the Book of Romans. So it's given me opportunity to read the whole letter again. And I was very struck by a couple of verses in Romans 14. None of us lives to him or herself alone. None of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And I suppose for me, it's just this reminder that for the believer, the focus of our existence is the Lord Jesus, because it's Christ's intention, after all, that he brings life in all its fullness. So whether it is in life or in death, believers willingly stand under the lordship of Christ and seek to please him alone. And that is where true freedom comes. When we belong to Christ in life or death, there's a holy abandon. And that wonderfully has been picked up in a fairly new hymn, which Keith Getty and other talented musicians have brought to our attention, Christ, our hope in life and death. And that hymn has been a huge blessing to me, as well as Romans 14. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? The love of Christ in which we stand.
Well, obviously, we've just been through Easter and we've really resonated with all of the Christ's death and suffering on the cross for us. And we're very familiar with John 3:16, but I've really been thinking about John 3:17, which is, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And if there's one thing that Easter highlights, it is the reason why we need a saviour and why Jesus did choose to die so that we could know his forgiveness. And at the end of the day, you know, when bad things crowd in, people who don't have a faith can become angry with God and say, well, why is God allowing this to happen? Or, you know, they blame God for things that God hasn't created. You know, sickness and illness and death were really humanity's responsibility. But he has come to save the world, not to condemn the world. And so I think we just need to reach out with the love and the saving message of Christ.
Norman?
Yeah, I think for me, it has really come out of the Easter theme. I was reflecting a bit on John chapter 18, where Jesus has this conversation with Pilate. And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. My kingdom is from another place. And Pilate ironically says, oh, so you're a king then? And just thinking through in this time of fear, way back in January when I was thinking through Easter and what we were going to do, we try and have a theme for Easter. Obviously, it's the resurrection, but a kind of theme or a design or a picture in front of us. And I felt very strongly in January a picture of a crown and of Jesus being the king. And as we got on into January, February, March, it became obvious that this coronavirus was taking the news. And corona, of course, is another name for crown. And I just felt strongly that God was saying to me and through me to the congregation, you know, Jesus is the king in all of this. We are running fearfully and we have to respect the coronavirus. But there is a greater king. There's a greater crown. For me, that was reassuring. That was helpful for me that God is speaking into the situation. And he's saying that he is Lord. He is in control in this situation, which seems out of control. It reminds me that he is in control. And I just need to keep being reminded of that. And I think our congregations and indeed this world needs to be reminded that we have a greater king. Yes, a kingdom from another place, but that kingdom reign gradually through the church is coming more and more on earth, until one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is King, that he is Lord of Lords.
Well, that's a great note to finish on. So thank you to you for contributing today to this podcast. And thanks also to everyone for listening to these three Remain stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Remember, we are inviting you to share your own stories of faith, hope and love with us in these days via email to be shared in future episodes. And don't forget to click to subscribe to receive future episodes. See you next time.